Don't engage alone. We do this together.
Somebody clip this one.
Welcome to Under Two Capes Live. I am Jared. I'm here with my brother Nick from the Phoenix Press. What's up, Nick?
You ready?
Yeah. So for those of you that have watched this show for any amount of time or any of the comics and shows, you know I'm very critical of the DCAU. Like, very. Now, you may be wondering, Jared, why are you devoting an entire episode to this when you've already addressed it? Because we just had Sam Liu on the show, and he kind of, like, gave some context to a lot of the creative decisions made. So I figured, Nick figured that since we just had this killer guest provide some backup, it might be a good idea to, like, revisit this topic. So here we are. So this is going to be an actual debate. In other words, we're going to... here's how we're going to do this. All right. So one of us is going to talk first. We'll have like a 5-minute opening statement on like... And we can address like certain parts of the DCAU. And by the way, by AU, I'm also including any of the animated movies done by Bruce Timm that we want to like address because there are certain points that I want to go over. And then... I'll have an opening statement, and then we'll do a structured, like, refutations on our arguments, and then we'll just have a general, like, back and forth. So are you ready to be defeated, Nick?
I am ready to win.
All right. So let's get started. So since I am a gentleman, I will allow age before beauty to go first. So, Nick,
thank you. Hey.
So, you have 5 minutes starting now. Go.
All right. So, I believe that the whole, like, Batgirl with Batman thing is exceedingly overhyped, overhated. It's, at the end of the day, I think, like, people put too much of a emphasis on this because even in the Bruce Timm depictions, He shows it as not that big of a deal. Let me rephrase that. He shows it as it's a bad idea. Like, it was a bad idea. It's always been it drove a wedge between him and Richard. And I feel like, oh, he's a mentor. It's like a daughter. Like, no, it's not his actual daughter. So it's not incest. She is of age. So it is not pedophilia. It's like you guys create boxes to put this in. And it's kind of silly, bordering on stupid. If you don't like it, whatever. But they have like this, like, it's like the enormous hate boner for it. I find it to be very, extremely silly. Like, personally, my personal view is like, I don't care, you know? But in the Killing Joke scene in particular, for one, she pursued him. She came on to him. And I know it's like, oh, Batman wouldn't give into it, but my thing is, that's your interpretation. You know, like we talk about like my version of Batman, your version of Batman. Like we brought up the gun debate. You know, some people's version of Batman does use guns, some people does. We all have like what we view as Batman, and if you view Batman wouldn't give in, that's fine. Me, I like to put the man in Batman. Batman is still a man, and a pretty girl gets on top of you, starts. You know, I'm trying to keep this PG. You know, the temptation is there. And I don't know. I feel like people have kind of, I feel like there's kind of like this unnatural kind of hatred towards it that stems from like, oh, like, I don't know. I don't like all these limiters. Like, if someone's over 18, it's fair game. Like, you can think it's weird, but it's fair game. You know, like, I don't know. How much time do I have left?
2 minutes and 40 seconds.
See, this is why I didn't want to do 10 minutes, because I'm not even sure if I have, like... All right, I'm just going to cede the rest of my time to you, because, like, I don't got anything left.
All right, so I guess I get 7.5. All right.
No, you get 5 minutes. I'm just cutting my time short.
All right. All right. So let me... Is this the way it starts? Okay, good. All right. 3, 2, 1. Okay. So, and by the way, hello, Tevye. And yes, Brown, she was 18. And okay. Okay, so here's my problem with the DCAU in general. I'll start general and then go in there. Is that some of the depictions of the characters are like not compatible with the version with what these characters are supposed to represent totally. Now, what I mean by that, I use Wonder Woman as the example. Wonder Woman, who's supposed to be like this epitome of female empowerment, becomes a simp for Batman, who literally is the reason why...
Wait, I thought this was a Batgirl-Batman debate.
It's general DCAU as well. I'm using that as... I'm getting to that. But nerds to talk about movies, not just the type of discourse I can get behind. Thank you. But anyway, back to what I was saying. See, and that's my thing. There are a lot of questionable, like, things he has these characters do that no version of the character would do. Because they all have, except for, like, injustice. But, okay, so going to the Batman-Batgirl thing, my problem with that specifically is that, number one, and I said this the same, I get the story reason why that happened. My issue was there are other ways that he could have achieved that same story beat and better. Like the whole thing, like Barbara was like, one of the reasons was a way to get Nightwing away from Batman. Here's a good idea. You could adapt kind of like what the Titans did, because Batman became brutal. Nightwing was like, okay, screw you, I'm out. And then, and you could have done it that way. My other problem is that the DCAU version of Batman, to address your version thing, I don't buy that he would do that to Nightwing, because he wouldn't do anything that screws up the team dynamic, ignoring the Barbara thing. Because if you have teammates that absolutely hate each other for that reason, that's gonna make you significantly less effective. And what I say is that all versions of Batman, I'm gonna be absolute on this, all of them are devoted to their job of protecting Gotham. Anything gets in between them and that is either cut out or not even considered. That's partly why I don't think a Batman being with anyone's a good idea, except maybe Catwoman, and we agree on that. I can give you that. And the other thing is, so that's really my stance on that. And again, I get the story. The story reason makes sense. I'm not like disputing the story. It's just the way you get to that point. Now, onto the Killing Joke movie. I recently had like a reevaluation of the first half after hearing Sam talk about why the first half exists. Hey, that's fine. I get it. That's a fantastic reason. But again, the same in terms of Batman Batgirl, the same point shows up. It's that you could have had the exact, there were other story beats that you could have done. There are other things you could have had Batman do that would have driven the Bat family away or had the same effect on Barbara. And that's my thing. To repeat my point for emphasis, other stuff he could have done. In terms of the DCAU in general, my other issue is that people take this as these are the versions of the characters that should be in any version, if it's like movies or anything like that. And I believe like Brown Destroyer said that earlier. And I get it. There are certain beats that you can carry over because these are iconic versions of these characters. And let me put it this way. They do have an effect in the comics because look at Mr. Freeze. And they even improved the character in that case. So
no argument there.
Points to them. I credit where credit is due. We also have S-TAS, one of the great Justice League and Justice League Unlimited. Nick, we're doing the rewatch show right now. And that is like one of my favorite DC shows ever. It's just those small points are where I take points off. to be clear, I still like the DCAU for what it is. There are just certain story beats that I don't like or disagree with, except for Wonder Woman. The Wonder Woman part I absolutely hate because, again, they turn Wonder Woman into a simp. And basically, I believe Bruce Timms had said this at one point. Don't quote me on this, so I'm not, like, so sure on this. But the whole Batman Wonder Woman thing was because it's like, oh, Wonder Woman is being rebellious against her mother, and of course she goes for the bad boy. And that's my point, so there you go.
Okay, refutation.
Yep,
so ahead. The first thing I'm going to address is your every version of Batman. First off, it's not every version, because Batman is shown to be a horn dog in many All-Star Batman and Robin, which is a legitimate version of Batman. It was in the comics. It was written by Frank Miller. We keep our masks on. It was better that way.
Like I gotta say this. Why did you say that name? Thank you.
That is fair. But and the also thing is, like, I don't think Batman has to reach really deep down to be the billionaire playboy. Because, like, he is a horn dog at the end of the day. Many versions of Batman have shown to be a horn dog. Like, he's been with a lot of different women, like Jezebel Jett, Vicky Vale, like lots of different women. Okay. So Batman being a horn dog is something that shows up a lot.
Okay. And, I can see that.
Okay. So when you say every version, I disagree with that. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're still awesome. You know, whatever.
It's totally fine, dude. It's all good.
Yeah. It's just my thesis is people have their versions of Batman. You have a very specific version of Batman that is different from mine. And that is fine. I just feel like, each of our versions is valid in our own heads, you know? And I'm not going to tell you how you should see, like, if you think if your version of Batman would have never slept with Barbara, that is perfectly valid. I'm not going to take that away from you. But my version of Batman, the one that I have in my head, is he would give in to those advances because he's still a horn dog and whatnot. And my version is perfectly valid, but I'm not trying to impose my version on yours.
That's a good point. By the way, Nick, that is a great attitude. I really appreciate that. Do you mind if I respond?
Go ahead.
To that point, the reason why I said every version, and the reason why I'm still hanging on to that point, is because when you see, at least in the, let me clarify, in the versions that I have seen, whether or not that's movies, comics, animation, whatever, the way I saw it is that the Bruce Wayne part, the Playboy part, that is an act to further the goal of protecting Gotham.
No, I'm just trying not to interrupt you, you know.
And I appreciate that, brother.
Yeah, and I'm saying it is an act. But what I'm saying is he doesn't have to dig too deep down to get that part of him. Like, he's just, you know how, like, some people, when they want to, like, put out an act, they just accentuate certain parts of their personality. You know, like for me, when I go on these streams, I get hyper charismatic and I get, like, hyper with the energy. And that's me kind of putting on a little bit more of a persona for these shows. And I'm saying with Bruce, he's kind of naturally a horn dog, which, by the way, Dick Grayson definitely inherited.
Yeah, exactly. Like father, like son. But to that point, and by Legion, we are debating if the DCAU is overrated or not. And like the Barbara Gordon and Batman relationship that Bruce Timm was so focused on establishing. But that's my other point, dude. It's like, nice, dude. But anyway, Nick, that's my other problem with the DCAU is that Bruce Timm's, is that they felt the need. I'm not going to put all the blame on Bruce Timm because there were other people involved in the story. I'm going to, like, stop doing that. They put so much emphasis because it seems like Batman was, like, trying to sleep with every woman on the Justice League. And it got, like, I think they went a little overboard with that part. That's just me. And again, with the Wonder Woman thing. Yes. Thank you, Britt. But the thing, everything before the Tomorrow versus Fire. Okay, that's fair enough. But the thing is that it's just like every single female Batman was flirting with. And I'm just like, okay, what are you doing? I get that you're trying to emphasize and make Batman James Bond, which to a certain degree he is, but it's just when you go so far, when you make it every single time, for one thing, because to that point, Nick, it's not like in Batman comics he's doing that every single time, every single comic. And by the way, Nick, thank you for the super chat. I really appreciate
it. Oh, wow.
What's up, Nick? How you doing? Is there any chance y'all are reading too much and these characters hooking up, which didn't happen? No, they did. They did. It's confirmed in the canon comics, Legion.
Legion, I give you a 125% chance that we are.
Yeah, and they did in that comic. And
yeah, in the DCAU, which, by the way, the Batman Beyond is part of the DCAU.
It is.
And they did release comics, like, leading up to it, where they revealed that, like, there was kind of a thing where, like, Dick Grayson was gone for a little while, and, like, him and Barbara were hooking up, and Barbara got pregnant with Bruce's child. This actually happened in the DCAU. And then she lost a child, and that's why Dick Grayson doesn't talk to Bruce anymore.
And there's another detail. They did that when she was still in a relationship with Nightwing. So that's the other thing where I'm like, would Bruce really do that to his friend at the very least? I don't think he would do that. And that version of Batman, I have to clarify that.
While I do defend the Killing Joke moment pretty vehemently, because I feel like that moment is pretty clear cut. This one, I will at least somewhat acknowledge that it is a bit messy.
Yeah, that is the one where I'm like, and it's the one that's canon to the Timverse, the DCAU one. That's the one where I'm like, that's one where I'm really pissed off, because forget that she's Batgirl. Forget that forget all the stuff I mentioned about Batgirl. It's just the fact that she was actively in a relationship with Nightwing. You think that's when another time where I would think Bruce would say, nah, you're in a relationship with Nightwing, let's not do this. Because, again, screws up the team dynamics. I'm pretty sure, I'm going to use an absolute statement again, I'm pretty sure every version of Batman would not want to cause issues with the team, because that impacts his mission. What's up, Nick?
Playing devil's advocate, I will say in the DCAU, Nightwing is a bit of an outsider when it comes to, like, the larger Bat family. Because the fallout in the comics between them wasn't as bad as it was in the DCU. Like, in the DCAU, it was a lot nastier. Like Robin never sucker punched Batman in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was, like, really, really nasty break. Like, I'm just going to call it a breakup or whatever. So, like, I feel like they made up, but I feel like he was never really, like, really, truly a part of it. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but again, it's like, would Batman want to further exacerbate that situation if they were in a scenario where they were trying to, like, to make up, if you will? I love how this became a relationship thing.
Well, this is where I say...
Thank you, Nick.
The DCAU version presented is a bit messy, you know?
Yeah. The Killing Joke part, that's a different debate, because, again, Elseworlds to that, so you don't have all that baggage.
See, the way that I would have done it is, Barbara and Bruce might have had, Barbara and, I don't want to, like, say, because they did, because we got the P-bots coming in.
Thank Richard, you.
But, like, her and Nightwing had an art, like, this is, like, the way I would have done it.
Okay.
Like, her and Richard had an argument. So they, like, took a trip, and they were, like, broken up. And so she came to Bruce, and in upset, it was kind of like a rebound situation, and a slip-up occurred, and they got back together. Then she found out, and that's what causes it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I would have played it. Because it's messy, but it's still, like, you can understand it. The way they did it, to be fair, I haven't read the story, so I don't know the full context.
Oh, I'm gonna have to someday. But
we're gonna have to cover that on Comics Watch. We're gonna have to.
Do you know how I would have handled the Killing Joke moment? I just thought of it.
I'm listening.
You have it where you can have the scene go relatively the same. Batgirl kisses Batman, like, sneaks one in there. He pushes her off and then flies away. You still get, you, in other words, you don't need them to knock boots, if you will.
I don't know.
Because at that point, Batman would be like, "You're getting too close." Get and then he wouldn't even say he wouldn't even say anything. He'd probably just leave, and then you could still have the he's dodging her calls for so long, and then you still have that characterization of Batgirl.
I don't know. We're going to have to chalk that one up to just differences of opinion.
That's fine. But yeah, at least we agree that the DCAU one is significantly, like, more messed up.
Yeah, like I think you would agree. The way the version that I laid out, you might not agree with it, but you could be like, okay, that one at least makes some sense.
It makes some sense because it's less of a portrayal of Nightwing. So that's really what... Honestly, that's my chief issue with that one, because granted, I didn't know that like Nightwing and Batman were still kind of like on the outs to a degree in that continuity. It's just, if they were working to be able to work together again, would Batman do that?
To be fair, that is just my feeling of how things are going. I could be very wrong on that. Mm-hmm. So I'm just being fair here.
Yeah. It's just, my point is, again, with that, that's the version where I'm like, that would not happen. That is inconsistent with that version of, with from what I've seen of the B-Task Batman.
Mm.
So I'm keeping it in the versions. That's the problem with doing, like, with debating about characters that have been in, like, all these different media, because you do run into the whole different versions. Hell, and Britt know this, even the comics, because I still argue that new... 52 Superman is the best Superman. Go ahead.
And in comparison, and while we're still talking about DCAU, let's talk about kind of about Wonder Bat real quick. Now, I've said this on our rewatch streams. Go watch them on this channel, by the way. They're really good.
Please, thank you. And be sure to go onto Nick's channel and watch us discuss Avatar The Last Airbender.
Well, thank you. I think that the consensus that you and I come to regarding Wonder Bat, the honest to God consensus is, yes, there's chemistry between Bruce and Diana. Yes, she's attracted to him, but he feels it's not good for very valid reasons.
Yep. And the opening of the pig episode is my favorite episode of any, is one of my favorite moments in DCAU, because again, just the way he shoots her down. And I love when she crushes the rock when he says that the enemies would do anything to get to me, even if hurting the people I care about, crushes the rock. And he's like,
okay, they love each other in a romantic way, but Batman's like, this just won't work. It won't work.
Not even love, because Susan Eisenberg, and I bring her up because this is like the only time I've ever heard like creatives or people associated with the show talk about it. They said it was never supposed to be a relationship at all. It was just supposed to be them flirting. And that's when I was like, okay, I could see that, because here's the thing. I do agree with you, Nick. Batman flirts a lot, so that's why, like, in BVS, I was like, okay, it's Wonder Bat, but still, I get what he's doing. They're going.
I would just argue that Batman does have deep feelings for Diana, just like the pig episode, the way he acted, all the stuff and what he did for her. Like, yeah, you get like sure, he would do, like, if that was a Flash, he wouldn't be acting like that.
But speaking of that, going back to the depiction of Wonder Woman, my problem is that. See, I get the whole different version. It's just my problem with it is that you take Diana. She comes from an island that distrusts men because they're distrustful of everyone, because they're untrustworthy. And this is the view of the Amazons, and they're hostile and stuff. DCAU Diana is 18, fawning over Batman. Okay. All we have is like, see, I'm not bringing that up because that we're keeping it to what was explicitly said and addressed in the show. So, yeah.
What a writer says 10 years after the show is off the air, I do not consider canon.
Yep. Or it's like when Greg Rucka haphazardly said, oh yeah, Wonder Woman's bi, even though the comic barely addressed that. But... the thing
now,
the
if they did an animated movie set in like a sequel to Justice League in 2020, and they revealed that she was 18, then okay, yeah, Like, I would maybe consider that.
But the thing is, for that, my issue with that is that, okay, so for the reason that I just talked about, so the Amazons hate men because they're distrustful, they're hostile, they will betray you. Yeah. Batman literally is every one of those check boxes, and yet Wonder Woman is so infatuated with him, and I'm like...
I mean, we all know what Batman is. He is vengeance. He is the knight.
He is the Batman.
Batman.
Yeah. There you go. By the way, Nick, thank you. I love that. But that's my issue. It's like, would you really just... I find it hard to believe that would go that way. Britt says, well, Tim and Co. did explicitly say that they didn't know what to do with Diana and wasn't interested in her character, so having her fawn over Batman would make her more interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. I did happen to see that, and I believe even Conroy, of all people, had said that he considers her a one-note character. To be clear, though, here's the thing. A lot of people consider, like, Superman to be a one-note character back then, too. So,
well, the problem is going into Justice League, you literally have 10 years worth mm-hmm. of storytelling for both Batman and Superman. You have all that history of that character development going into Justice League versus Wonder Woman is fresh. Mm-hmm. And I haven't said this on the show. Like, I haven't really actually thought about it until now. Oh,
exclusive!
I really feel like they don't really do much to develop Wonder Woman's character.
You mean DC in general?
No, DCAU.
They don't. They do not whatsoever. Because, again, they don't know what to do with Wonder Woman. That's why. And the thing about that, and to be clear, that's DC in general. They don't know what to do with Wonder Woman ever.
Like, for example, a perfect example of, like, backstory helping the story. Like, the distrust Superman. Because remember, he had that time where he's brainwashed by Darkseid, and he literally invaded the Earth in S-Task. That literally affects the storyline of Justice League. Yeah, why they create Galatea, cool. Why they have all these, like, defenses, and he's like, why are you doing this? Because you took over the Earth, you know, and whatnot. And this is an example of why all that backstory just helps Justice League.
That's why I like the DCAU, because all these shows inform each other. That's why I like it. And by the way, Legion, I am enjoying Tom King's Wonder Woman run for the most part. It is good. But Nick says, I don't care what anyone else says. I like Wendy's character and wish they did more with her. I love Wonder Woman too. She's my third favorite superhero. I have a show where she's half of the main cast of the show. But
that's quite the legacy you have there.
But yes, Nick, to your point, they don't know what to do with Wonder Woman in that show, that they just decide, let's just make her romantically fawn over the guys. That's just stereotypical, the way you write women, and it's just doesn't sit well with me. The problem
is, Justice League has proven they can write good women. Like, I feel like yep. Supergirl gets more character development.
Black Canary,
I was saying, like they are, like, have far more depth to these characters. Like, honestly, whenever Supergirl, like, I've really enjoyed whenever Supergirl pops up in Justice League, because, like, she actually is a very interesting character on the screen.
She is 100%. That's the other issue, Nick, is that they've shown that they can do great female characters. How in Batman and Superman, the animated series, they've done this. In Batman Beyond, they've done this. Why can't they do this with Wonder Woman?
Quick thing, by the way, this is, like, kind of a preview for when we get to the Batman Beyond rewatch.
Yeah,
Barbara Gordon. Commissioner Barbara Gordon is a shining example of girl boss done right.
Yes. Oh, and by the way, speaking of rewatch, I just want to say, after we do Justice League, we're going to be rewatching the Halo show. But you know why? Here's why I want to do this, Nick. I want to see, because tell the audience, live action. Here's why. Okay, so Nick, you don't know anything about Halo, correct? So I want to see someone going in there relatively fresh, what they think of the show. Plus, I'm trying to, like, reevaluate and see, is it really as bad as I remember? So I think that'll be really fun for us to do. So anyway, back to the DCU. And that's my thing. Again, you have one of the most iconic female characters ever. and you resort her to, in a world where we have Ellen Ripley, you decide, let's just make that one of the most popular and most iconic female characters.
I mean, we live in a world of Jennifer Lawrence. Let's be honest.
Well, yes. By the way, Jennifer Lawrence would be a fantastic Wonder Woman voice actress.
I mean, she is the first female action star, so we all have her to thank for it.
There you go. Diana's purpose is to challenge stereotypes. She was created to counter Superman, but at the time, having the female character upstage the guy isn't ideal for them. Yeah, but that's where I really take. I mean, I don't take offense. I don't want to say a little like this show offended me, but my thing is, this is my chief issue: is that it takes certain characters and basically turns them into parodies at times.
Oh, Jared, this is a little bit of a tangent.
Yeah,
but
go
ahead.
No, it's fine.
All right, I have a versus battle for you.
Oh boy, let's do this.
Wonder Woman versus Captain Marvel.
Wonder Woman.
Why?
A, Captain Marvel sucks. B, Gal Gadot is a better actress than Brie Larson. C, Wonder Woman is a tolerable female character. D,
no, we're not talking about who's a better character. We're saying who would win in a fight.
D, Wonder Woman is the literal god of war. Well, was the god of war, but... And Captain Marvel just has space powers, and Wonder Woman has destroyed people that could one-shot Captain Marvel. I was thinking the real Captain Marvel, like Marvel, not Carol. Yeah.
So my opinion is they're kind of closely even matched, but Wonder Woman has the warrior's edge. Mm. I don't like. It would not be a straight stomp. It would not be a straight stomp.
No, it wouldn't, because Captain Marvel is a powerhouse. But again, to your point, because Wonder Woman is a warrior, that's why Wonder Woman Twitter, she uses a freaking shield and a sword.
I think that because we say, oh, Captain Marvel just fly around and shoot her. Wonder Woman just use a lasso of truth and reel her in, you know. And also, Wonder Woman can jump pretty, like, Wonder Woman can close a distance. And I think it would be a close fight. But Wonder Woman has the distinct advantage.
And according to Daniel, Wonder Bat shippers just put Batman as a Steve replacer. I disagree with you on that. A lot of it is just
the Trevor stands are yeah. There's something else.
Wait. There are fans of Steve Trevor.
I know. I don't understand it.
I don't get it, because Steve is not a likable character. I'm just gonna tell you that right there. Wonder Woman superior to Captain Marvel. Fighting skills, training, knowledge, beauty. Yes. Classes, femininity, and empathy. Yes, exactly. Thank you, Daniel.
From a pure power standpoint, while Wonder Woman does have the edge, it's kind of a close gap.
It's closer, but Steve was great in the movie. Yes, Legion, I acknowledge that. In the first movie. In the second movie, he basically turns into a parody. And then in the comics, he's a stalker. That's what Steve Trevor is. He's a Wonder Woman stalker. Can't wait for your next Super Wonder Legacy episode. Oh, yeah, that one. Oh, I'm going to announce it right now. Speaking of with Steve Trevor, Britt and I are going to talk about why Lois Lane and Steve Trevor don't work as love interests for Superman and Wonder Woman. Yes, I'm revisiting those waters. The second movie, there was a second movie. Yeah, I know. For some reason, I didn't know there was a Wonder Woman 2. But, okay. By the way, this whole debate, this whole half-hour thing, I want this to become YouTube history. Because here's why. This is what happens when you have a mature conversation about stuff you disagree on. Nick and I are still good. See, we're smiling. We're having a good time. We're not screaming at each other. Nick, you freaking suck!
I mean, Wonder Bat is a superior ship anyway, so...
Okay. Weeb.
You guys should do a stream about how badass Rick Flagg is. Legion, here is my idea to fix Steve, and it involves Rick Flagg. Take all the military guys in DC, put them in their own book, call it like Men at War or like War Angels
the
or
losers.
Something.
The losers.
Essentially, do the losers, because you can tell great stories about actual soldiers in a world with superheroes. That would be a fantastic idea. I saw Justice League War World. Why DC not have the quality of the DCAU? Yeah, War World is not as bad as people say. It's interesting, but it's not as bad. It's what comic book stores, nerd space. Yeah, exactly, exactly. And that's what this channel is supposed to be. It's supposed to be, if you don't have a comic book store near you, this is so you could still have that conversation.
We are the comic book store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he says, and up at Jim Jones with diversity, it's about which character would beat which in a fight and what movie stuck to our. Yeah, exactly. But Nick.
I did want to address Brown's comment. See, this is why I actually really like the Snyderverse, where Wonder Woman's character, she doesn't upstage like Superman or Batman, but she proves herself to be a worthy part of the team, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And like she's not upstaging them, but she is a member, she's equal to them. And that's what we want. We don't want, like, men are not better, women are not better. We're better when we're together.
We're all equally worthless. But, and to quote that, that's why I love the Snyder Cut specifically, because the team movie, but literally every team member, if you're a Flash fan, they had a kick-ass Flash moment. If you're an Aquaman fan, you got the Ma-Man scene. So everyone got their moment.
Oh, Nyx.
Look, to be honest, Steve and Lois are a huge part of both this character's history. They just suck at the end. I'm not saying get rid of the characters. I'm saying as love interests, they don't work. Well, first off, Steve doesn't fit with Wonder Woman as a romantic relationship. She was, read the George Perez run. He was much better utilized there. Wonder Woman doesn't have the Avengers 200 under her belt.
You know, I need to make it for like an anniversary of Friday Night Frenzy, where I have Nick, where we do like have Nick's read that on live on air.
Yeah, Snyder vs. Wonder Woman was goated. Yes, she's so goated that
God, I wish Sammy was here so bad.
Yeah, the best superhero entrances, I think, of all time.
I wish Sammy was here so bad, just telling us all to shut the F up. Like, oh,
yeah, Sam, she would.
I love you.
She would. That's one. And by the way, Sammy, yes, we love Snyder Queen. She is awesome. But Lois Lane and Steve Trevor. Hey, Britt, what do you think of pairing those two together? They can all, they can be united in their irrelevancy. The power dynamic between Steve and Wonder Woman was never more apparent than the awful second movie, even if it was the monkey paw body swap she easily had. Yeah, it just doesn't work. Pay me and I'll do it. Nick, this is your next crowdfund. Make Nick's read the Avengers 200.
Nick, be careful what you wish for.
This is the internet. They'll fund anything.
Yes.
But yeah, and that's really my thing. And again, when I emphasize, by the way, Nick, thank you for being, I knew you were going to be as cordial as ever. I just want to be on the record saying thank you for doing this, and thank you for proving that nerds can debate stuff and it be civil and fun. Because this was fun. I enjoyed it.
I mean, I knew this would be good content for you, so that's why I pushed in and whatnot. So.
And to be clear, I want to reiterate this point. I like the DCAU. I want to be clear. I don't hate it at all. Because, again, it was my introduction to DC. So, in terms of nerd law,
the only thing you hate is Lois Lane.
Yeah, actually, that's true. that is actually true. But that's why even Ms. Marvel in Worlds My Heroes was accurate, blunt, and aggressive. She's nowhere. Well, that's the way she was, even was in the comics as Ms. Marvel, but so I like that one better. But yeah, but
I gotta say, I would actually like, if you ever do like a Marvel DC team up thing, I would love to see that version of Ms. Marvel team up with Wonder Woman. That would be a good comic.
Back when I used to take comic book drawing classes, I still can't. Oh, Steve and Lois work to give in general language, except Steve, and they pretty much do have things in common, obviously way more than Clark and Diana. Yes, thank you, Britt. And we'll talk about that on the show. New 52 to DCAU and
you know who I would ship Lois with?
Who?
Rick Flagg.
Why?
with Lois being an army brat, I feel like Rick Flag would be kind of like just a person that Lois, you know, because you know how we always like, you know how it's like we always seem to be attracted to people that resemble our parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rick Flag would be that kind of person.
Well, here's the other thing, by the way. Here's my problem with Steve Trevor in comics. You ready? They keep changing his military branch because in Rebirth, in the reboot, he was a Navy SEAL. Then he was Army. Then he was and now he's in the Marine Corps. I'm like,
Rick Flag?
No, Steve Trevor. I'm like, what? Make up your freaking mind, guys.
Oh, okay. Here's a question for you. What army brands do you think Steve Trevor should be a part of?
First off, it's what military branch do you think Steve Trevor should be a part of? And honestly, I would just have him be an Air Force pilot, like in the George Perez one. That's my thing. The George Perez one was a tolerable version of Steve Trevor because he was more of a father figure to Diana.
Hmm.
In fact, do you know who Steve actually marries in the Perez run, Nick?
Who?
Etta Candy.
Ooh.
That's who Perez put her with. Because guess what Perez kept teasing throughout that run? That Wonder Woman was attracted to Superman. She even dreams about him.
Now, what branch of the military is Rick Flag from? Is he Army?
I think he's Army. I think. I'm not that familiar with Rick Flag and Legion, if you are.
Because Rick Flag strikes me as a special operations type.
Yeah. If Steve is not Air Force pilot, I would put him as Navy SEAL. Plus, you could still have them together because the military, I've read, does do that, where they put a different branch people together on a team.
Well, Marines are part of the Navy, technically. And you can also have Rick or Steve be a naval aviator. I mean, look at Top Gun.
He's Top Gun. No, wait. Tom Cruise is actually Steve Trevor.
We all know that Maverick.
We all know he has to be Halford.
The next Top Gun movie is going to be a Green Lantern movie in disguise.
If all sign becomes highball, then I'm going to know they're doing Green Lantern. That's what. That's how worth a Steve Trevor is. They have to keep changing his branch to make him relevant.
Oh, jeez.
And I love that. Brown says Steve Trevor is better as a dead guy for Wonder Woman. Honestly, yeah, that could work too, and being like an inspiration thing. In fact, also, by a nice icon, Nick, I really like that.
Thank you.
Joe M. Sontag, he and I were talking when I had him on the show. I need to have him on again. He's a cool dude. But we were talking about this, and he actually said he is pro Superman and Wonder Woman being together, in the sense that if they did a storyline where they killed Lois and wanted to see how Superman would realistically react to that, not the way Tom Taylor wants Superman to react. And in other words, Superman would mourn, he would grieve, and the self-promotion king is back at it. he would mourn, he would grieve, and then eventually he would move on probably to Wonder Woman. I say Wonder Woman because that's what they do, and every time Lois is not in the picture, they put Superman with Wonder Woman because they know that's where he really belongs. And really, I forget who. One of my commenters actually said, Super Wonder is actually an inevitability because they're both immortal. You whittle down the population enough, that's going to happen eventually.
I mean, honestly, if you want any one reason why people like Batman, Steve Trevor, any of those people should not be with Wonder Woman, that is it.
Yeah, because and here's the thing: there can be if you keep losing people, it's not gonna work. Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. Where with Superman, because they played off where Superman is close to being immortal because of the sun constantly rejuvenating his cells. So he's, and Wonder Woman's a veritable goddess. So,
but in Batman Beyond, Superman said, "You outlive us all, Bruce. He's too stubborn to die."
Yeah.
I mean, we all know, like Superman was just being like superfluous or whatever. But you know, I was trying to be superfluous on my own. So
yeah, I know. I appreciate that. But so speaking of superfluous, Lois Lane. But anyway, I have to fit.
I mean, talking about useless characters,
Steve Trevor. But anyway. but again, I can't wait for this episode of Super Wonder Legacy. We're gonna go off on these characters.
St. Jared chose violence today, people. Just remember that.
But so, in conclusion, I think what we could say is that no universe is perfect except for the Snyderverse. The DCAU is fun. It has some massive flaws. But in terms of that, but the reason why I wanted to iterate my points is that people see this as like, oh, they should only, they should just look into the DCAU for their movies. In other words, for their characterization of the characters. And I'm like, not for Wonder Woman, not for Wonder Woman, or to a certain degree, because of the Barbara thing, Batman. But those are, that's really why I wanted to do this, to refute those people. But generally, again, it's a great part of DC because, again, DC Animated, just no matter how bad the movies get, for every Birds of Prey, there's about 10 under the red hoods.
Before we go, could you highlight Nick's comment, please?
Bruce Wolf. No, you know what he'll do? He'll go, I invented a potion that gives me immortality just so I can screw with Clark.
Oh, wow.
Wasn't Injustice Lord Superman with one? Yeah, so what happened in that is that, so the main canon DCAU Wonder Woman in the Batman Beyond comics that they did later, I don't, the way I remember the story is that she travels to the Justice Lord's universe, marries Justice Lord Batman, then which again doesn't make sense because you're even marrying an evil Batman now, and then Superman kills him, forces Wonder Woman to marry him, and then they have a kid together. And I'm like, well, that's odd. Again, all this stuff with the DCAU has a lot of weird stuff going on. My favorite version of Damage, she's a demigod. Mine too. I like it when she's a demigod. Hey, Nick, I never asked you this. Where do you fall more with Wonder Woman? Are you more clay origin, or you're more like Zeus's daughter origin?
I'm like the Zeus's daughter origin. I think that adds more to her character.
Me too. Plus, it, particularly with someone that's as tied into the Greek pantheon as her, I feel like that ties it in a little more, and it's a better way.
Because her being like Hippolyta and Zeus's daughter, like that makes perfect sense. Because we knew like Zeus's problem.
Zeus does that all the time. That, watch Clash of the Titans. That's another story about Zeus's kids. But
it gets really much darker if you go in like the actual lore. But like I the way I see it, like Diana was raised like, oh, I sculpted you from clay. No, that's actually the lie she actually had with Zeus. That's actually the stuff she tells Diana. She has like a cover story.
New 52 did that exact thing.
And literally the Snyderverse did it as well.
The Snyderverse did that too. Again, all the best versions of all the best universes of DC seem to do this. Don't tell the Wonder Woman fandom on Twitter that, because they're upset whenever Wonder Woman uses a sword. And hey, what's up, Sean Franklin? How you doing, my brother? Zeus gets around. That is known. Thank you. Thank you. Zeus's daughter, Clay, sounds too cartoony. And they're like, they should bring back the Clay origin for the movies. That doesn't translate well to a movie. The audience is not necessarily going to buy that. Because the general audience knows enough about Zeus to know he has children everywhere. So that's why it's more able to be believed by the audience.
Oh, you're the son of Zeus? Literally everyone in this room is. So
that doesn't make you. That doesn't make you unique.
When everyone is a daughter of Zeus.
No one is. The daughters do that. Thank you. I like that, Nick. But so I think that's a good place to leave it. This was a fantastic episode. One of my favorites, definitely. And we got some good discussion. Be sure to share this to all your DCAU friends as we talk about this. But Nick, where can one find you, and what have you got coming out on your channel?
Alrighty then. So tomorrow, if you thought this debate was fiery, just wait till you see tomorrow what I got going on the Friday Night Frenzy. So AIR is the talk of the town, and I think we should settle this debate once and for all. So tomorrow on the Friday Night Frenzy at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over on the Phoenix Press YouTube channel, we will be talking about AIR. I got a buddy of mine who's pro-AIR to represent his side. We're going to have a good, honest debate. There will be fireworks. There will be blood. There may be some hurt feelings. I hope not, but we shall. I'm just, you know, like, but yeah. And then on Saturday, Jared will be joining me as we dwell deeper into Arkham Asylum. And
we go mad as I watch Nick fail at being Batman.
Possibly.
Possibly, probably.
I hate you.
I love you too, brother. So I'm trying to. So in terms of Comics League, again, I have that awesome Super Wonder Legacy episode that I'm so excited for. There's a Punisher extended cut.
Yes, it's called The Crow.
Well, yeah, there you go. Exactly. And we did cover The Crow. But in terms of Indie Wednesday, I'm still like figuring that one out. In terms of movie night, we're talking about Ghostbusters. So yes, there you go. And I have Super Wonder Legacy. I have a Justice League rewatch with Nick, Avatar rewatch on his channel. Mm-hmm. And in terms of any particular interview, still working on a particularly big guest, but we'll see what happens with that. I'm very willful that that will happen. And if you know who it is, you know why I'm saying willful. Ghostbusters. Yes, exactly. So I want to conclude this. And Nick had this suggestion in the private chat that I play this clip to end the night. And you know what? It is the best. And this is where I would tell any... This is what I always use. Whenever I'm debating something on Twitter and someone comes out with a personal attack just because I don't like their version of the character. You ready?
Okay, they're talking about fictional characters. Fictional characters.
Yes, there you go. And thank you, Nick. That is actually very appropriate for the show. So on that note, everyone, stay heroic, and we will see you in the next one. Thanks. Bye-bye.